You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome back to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and on today's program, part two of Dr. Dobson's powerful and insightful discussion with Gary Bauer, talking about what happened on November the 5th, 2 weeks ago, and the special presidential election outcome that many Christians had been praying for, and a lot of people of the Christian faith are saying this is God in His mercy giving the United States four more years, especially the church in the U.S., four more years to continue to live out a biblical worldview. Now, the election was relatively close in the popular vote, though it was not close at all in the electoral vote, Donald Trump prevailing over Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. But what really stands out now is for us as Christians, what are the next steps? What did we learn from the way the election was handled? And what can we take moving forward as ways to mend fences with some relationships that might have been damaged? But more importantly, why is it so important for Christians to get out and vote and make our voices heard in the public square? Well, with that as our backdrop, let's get into our conversation once again. Here now is Dr. James Dobson to introduce today's edition of Family Talk.
Gary, it's just great to have you back for a second program. It'd be a shame not to have an opportunity to talk more about the election and what the implications of it are. I really feel we could talk about that for a month, probably. So I'm delighted that you were able to give us another day, and there's so many more things I want to talk to you about.
Well, it's great to be back, Jim, and there are a bunch of other things I was hoping we would get to, and I know people are hungry after a good election day to get your take and my observations about what this could mean for our faith, our families, and our future.
To sum it up here in the beginning of the second program, you're pretty excited about what happened at the election. Everybody in the country seems to be that, have those euphoric feelings at this time.
It's been amazing to see. You know, we've gone through a heavy time as a country, Jim. I think people were mortified, shocked at the assassination attempt, and then not much long after that, the other one at the golf course, and the rhetoric that was deployed against not only Trump, but against conservative candidates across the country, telling young women that, you know, they'll be chattel, they won't have any control over their reproductive rights, and just a lot of lies, and what the implication of all that was for our future. And the country, all the polls show this could be a nail-biter. It could go on for days, weeks before we had a winner. And then there would be all those battles in the courts and all the rest of it. So for people, when the sun came up the next morning, to know that, hey, the election was held, there's still some votes to count, but it's pretty clear. Trump won. I think there's a collective sigh of relief across the country. That theme, he's going to put people in detention camps. He's going to strip away your rights. So it was very irresponsible. Donald Trump, and I believe God's hand was in this.
He believes that,
yes,
too.
Which is more important.
Yes.
You know? But she took this path of not doing the interviews. But then, as I thought about it, if she did the interviews, then she was going to have to say specifically what she believed, and unless she was ready to renounce everything we knew about her, which would have alienated her own voters, that would have been a problem for her too. So she was in a difficult position, and I think she thought she could get away with a fast one. But you brought up something else. A lot of her appeal was what we call identity politics, you know, going to Black Americans and saying, well, I'm Black like you, so you have to vote for me. And then going to women, well, I'm a woman like you are. You must vote for me. that has been used in this country, and it goes on and on, you know, what your gender orientation is, what does your name end in a vowel, you know, all this stuff. It's divisive. It's the exact opposite of what our faith teaches us, which is every one of us is made in the image of the God of the Bible, the creator of all things. Our skin color, our ethnic background is the least important thing about us, and they on the left want that to be the only thing about us. And I believe there's a backlash building now against what I think is a really poisonous philosophy.
I sure agree with that, Gary. In fact, I've loved the fact that there seems to be a realignment.
Yes. And you know, Jim, you know how he talks about the open border and these people pouring in from a lot of countries in Central and South America and coming in, and we don't know who they are. They've emptied out a lot of their prisons. There's a bunch of high-paid Republican consultants in Washington telling the Republican Party, no, you can't say things like that. You'll never get the Hispanic vote. They want what we all want. And Donald Trump understood that, while this Republican establishment and pollsters and consultants never understands this sort of thing.
Yeah.
In the America we now live in, no one group dominates. So you have to build coalitions. Now, I grew up in a blue-collar family, and the community was heavily Catholic, and I heard a lot of cussing in my school, in my house.
That didn't bother you?
Well, you know, I consider myself an evangelical, but I understood why he talked like that. You know, he's Queens, New York, you know? He grew up in that atmosphere, and it's sort of a reminder that the coalition he put together were men and women like us, evangelicals and Catholics and Orthodox Jews, but also working class people of all types, many of whom probably, you know, aren't listening to our radio show, but they love America. They go and volunteer and fight in our wars. You would be offended a lot.
I'm sure I would.
Yeah. But you know these type of people I'm talking about. One of my earliest memories with my father, Spike Bauer, who had what we would call today an anger management problem, was we were at a county fair, and they were playing the national anthem on the opening night, and there were a couple of motorcycle guys behind us, and they were talking loud during the national anthem. And I could feel my father tense up. He had my hand. And he turned around, he said, pipe down, show some respect. And then he faced forward again, and they kept it up. I remember like it was yesterday, he dropped my hand, and he turned around, and he knocked the guy out with one punch.
You're kidding me.
No. Now, I want to go assure our audience, I am not recommending this. And the other thing was, there were a couple thousand people at this fair. Applause burst out when the news spread, Spike got him, you know, or whatever.
We live in a different world.
Yeah. So I've heard Trump recently joke about this. He goes, I know, I'm trying. You know, he said, Franklin Graham told me, you know, I need to work on it. And I am working on it. I'm really working on it. And he went about 10 minutes later, and then he used the slang term for posteria. And as soon as he said it, he stopped and he goes, I just did it again. So at least he's fighting.
Yeah. Well, Gary, our time's almost gone, and I would like you to kind of summarize our feelings about what took place. I've never been so elated, but I'm just pleased that the direction that the country was going was deeply troubling to us and to the influence that that had on our children.
Yes.
We don't have time to talk about all that, but some of that has been addressed.
Absolutely. But Jim, let me end with a warning, which is, all this year, you and I, many other people we respect, have been deeply worried that some terrible things could happen, and they almost did. He was almost killed. There was a real fear there could be rioting after the election, and thank God there, other than a few demonstrations in some of the big cities, there hasn't been any rioting. But I really believe we are still, as a nation, in grave danger. And I believe he is in grave danger. I think between now and Election Day, there are people that want him dead. And I'm talking about foreign enemies like Iran, who just before we got together for this conversation, two people were brought into court in New York City that had been working directly with Iran with orders to kill Donald Trump before Election Day. And they failed to do it. And now two people are under arrest for that. We know Iran has other assassination squads in the country. They've said it publicly. They want to kill him. We know there are elements of the United States government. We've seen it, sadly, over and over again. And this is a real threat to our republic, who are using powers that we gave them to fight our enemies, and they turned those powers against Trump, against Christians, against pro-lifers, these prosecutions that have taken place with pro-life demonstrators being given jail sentences that you would give an attempted murderer or a car hijacker. So I guess one of the things I hope comes out of our time together is that people understand they've got to keep praying. They've got to keep talking to their pastor to educate the flock about the moment we're in. America is still in grave, grave danger.
And their children are too.
Absolutely. And without God's people, none of the problems that are haunting America, whether it's racial reconciliation, safety in our streets, the end of corruption, none of those things can be accomplished without followers of Jesus Christ being in the public square.
Gary, we really ought to talk about the vice presidency and what that means. Have you thought about that? Did you pick up on what that man is like and what he believes and how he lives his life?
Look, we would have really been praying if they had won, because that guy, he makes her look like a moderate. And his investment into the LGBTQ ideology and using the schools to promote that, it's huge. And the idea that he would have been able to handle foreign policy questions, he would have been a heartbeat away from the presidency.
Can you imagine sitting at the table with the Russians?
No.
And dealing with earth-shaking conclusions that might have come out of that.
Yes. Now, in contrast, J.D. Vance, Senator Vance, was born in my home state of Kentucky, and he wrote this famous book, Hillbilly Elegy, about what it was like growing up in a very low-income, working-class family. His mother was addicted to drugs. And so he was able to talk about issues that, unfortunately, millions of Americans are facing today. He went on to get an education in an Ivy League school. I don't know what his IQ is, but that guy is one of the fastest guys on his feet I have ever seen. I thought in the vice presidential debate, he just ran circles around Tim Walz.
He was outstanding.
And he has come. He wasn't always there. But he's come to fully embrace Donald Trump's brand of populist conservatism, which I think is the future for the Republican Party. They need to be much more concerned about and zeroed in on Main Street and the problems of Main Street than they are about Wall Street and multinational corporations. And I think that's where the party is now under Trump, and I believe that Vance would continue taking it in that direction.
Gary, it's always fun to talk to you, especially when there's an issue like this that's suddenly come up. What are people saying to you about it? You're out in the public arena. What have you been hearing? We're going to close with this.
Yeah, they're just ecstatic. I mean, people are stopping me on the street, the ones that are old enough to still recognize me and say, you know, Gary, I can't believe it or whatever. The other thing I noticed is in my neighborhood, which was filled with Kamala Harris signs, They were down within 24 hours. There just wasn't the attitude that I had seen in previous times. We're getting a lot of emails, a lot of letters from people, and often the theme is, oh, thank God, our prayers have been answered. We have a reprieve. We've got four more years, so let's praise him, and then let's take advantage of this great blessing he gave us by allowing us to be born in America. He wasn't surprised, Jim, when any of us were born in America.
And Gary, I feel so strongly about this. It's time to realign our public schools. The things that are going on there are a disgrace, and our children are being affected by it, and we should take advantage of this opportunity to look again at how we're running our schools and the policies that are now being considered.
Yes. You know, Jim, in 2026, we will celebrate our 250th anniversary as a nation. And Donald Trump, God willing, will be safe and healthy and the president. And that's going to be an opportunity to get the whole country to be thinking more seriously about what it is we want our children to be taught in the classrooms of America about all the things that matter. And if that comes out of this election, that could give America another 100 years as a free nation.
And Gary, children are still at risk.
Oh, no question.
Well, Gary, we're out of time. It's just a pleasure to have you with us here in Colorado Springs. You and I have a long working relationship together. Let's keep it going.
Sounds great, Jim. Thanks for the opportunity, and look forward to being in the same foxhole with you in the days ahead.
Always great insight, and so wonderful to hear Dr. Dobson and Gary Bauer in studio together again, as Gary was kind enough to travel to our studios here in Colorado Springs for this recording today. Dr. James Dobson's commentary regarding the election and the outcome thereof, the election 2024, Dr. James Dobson reflects on the impact of Christians going to the polls. You can hear part one and two of this broadcast on the Family Talk app. You can also hear these programs on demand whenever you choose at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. And if you'd like a CD of this very special edition of Dr. Dobson's commentary with Gary Bauer talking about election 2024, call us at 877-732-6825. Now, in conjunction with what we were running on the air and online here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, the countdown to Decision 2024 took a whole new web presence as well, with the advent of a new video podcast series that was co-hosted by our special contributors Joseph Backholm and Allison Senafati. Joseph is Senior Fellow for Biblical Worldview and Strategic Engagement at the Family Research Council. Allison is a child advocacy innovator and an activist and writer with more than a decade of experience speaking out on family issues like abortion, marriage, human dignity, and more. She recently served as Director of External Affairs at Live Action and also served on staff at Concerned Women for America. They hosted the outstanding Countdown to Decision 2024 video podcast series. And if you haven't had a chance to watch any of these videos or the shorts that they did along with them, be sure to go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024, and you'll find some excellent resource material there as you're having these ongoing conversations with your friends and share these videos with your family. Now, Joseph and Allison are with us here. They just recently finished recording a podcast that's kind of our closing bell, if you will, on the video series. Joseph, let's talk about what this election means for us in the body of Christ. I mean, what are your personal reflections walking away from the effect and the end of election 2024?
Well, you know, the abiding motion coming out of this election for me was a sense of relief. And I really do think it is grace that we have been given as a country. And I think we need to be mindful of the fact that we don't deserve that. We have not behaved in a way as a nation that necessarily merits God's grace to us, but it has been given to us. I think that the direction that the left would have taken us had they prevailed, had they gotten the trifecta that the Republican Party currently has, would have been very troublesome for those of us who care about a creation order culture. So I think we should pause and be grateful But then we should also just be mindful of how close we have come. And in fact, still how close that we are. We still have a, you know, a solid minority of our country that is enthusiastically committed to some very dangerous ideas. And so we cannot like rest on our laurels and say, hey, because we won this election, we know these pendulums tend to swing. And I'm inclined to think that the left has gone a place that middle America is not inclined to accept. Can they, will they try to moderate, you know, in a way to, you know, win future elections? You know, these are all questions we don't know the answer to. But my abiding emotion right now and kind of my admonition for the church in America is let's be grateful, but let's not take this for granted. We cannot say, hey, we have now put somebody in a position, they're going to take care of all the problems. We are both our own problem and we are our own solution to the problem. And so I hope if anything has happened as a result of this election, we have become more committed to the edge that we constantly live on culturally. And if we cease to be the church, be the salt and light, to speak truth into darkness, to be good stewards of the environment, the state, the nation that God has given us, bad things will happen. It happened repeatedly to Israel. It will happen to us if we walk away from God, if we do not do what he wants us to do. Bad things are going to happen. That's bad for our personal lives. It's bad for our families and our communities. So I hope that we have entered into a new era of eternal vigilance, eternal joy and confidence, ultimately knowing that the government is on God's shoulders. We don't have to carry the weight of the world, but we do have a role to play, and that role doesn't end until he takes us home.
Such good word. It's like that Christmas analogy. A gift came early to us that we didn't really deserve. More faith, more freedom, more opportunity for us to speak boldly. So I would say follow your blocker. You know, you've got an administration now that's willing to block against these progressive ideologies, and we should take this advance and really get involved, educate our children and our families and our grandchildren. And we know that James Dobson Family Institute is a resource database and is going to continue to be that in the months ahead.
Well, that's very true, Allison. And thank you for the great work that you and Joseph did on the Countdown to Decision 2024 video podcast series that ran all throughout the election. And of course, the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute will still be actively involved these few days leading up to the inauguration coming up in January of 2025. And by the way, just to give you an idea of how far the reach of the Dr. James Dobson campaign initiative was, in addition to the daily broadcast on our 1,200 station chain of radio stations that carry the program and the people who listen on our app and online, we also did some special video presentations as well. The total reach of non-voting Christians, that's what we were trying to reach out to, was over 20 million. We reached about 10 million of them and engaged 5 million of them, including over 700,000 people in a couple of the key swing states. So please know that your prayers and your support of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute did have a positive impact on how the campaign 2024 did in fact turn out, not only on the national level, but on the local levels as well. By the way, if you're looking to learn more about which way the culture is twisting and turning, I highly recommend you check out the work of one of the contributors in the Countdown to Decision 2024 series. That would be our own Dr. Owen Strand. Dr. Strand is a wise beyond his years young father of three teenagers. He and his wife Bethany are currently right in the thick of that season. And he's the host of the new Grace and Truth podcast that will be making its debut very soon. He's also the author of the Light Up Culture weekly blog that lets you know exactly what's going on, the recent issue of that blog focusing on whether or not women should be in combat. There are all sorts of different issues where the culture has changed so dramatically, and Dr. Owen Strand and the Dobson Culture Center are meeting that challenge. You can sign up for the free Light Up Culture blog each week when you go to drjamesdobson.org and then click on the link for the Dobson Culture Center. Another area where Dr. Owen Strand has been a great partner and resource to team with Dr. James Dobson is in a brand new resource that has a very familiar title. Remember the classic books that Dr. James Dobson wrote on bringing up boys and bringing up girls? Well, bringing up girls has become even tougher for parents and, yes, even grandparents who have custodial parenting responsibilities here in 2024 and 2025. We've created a brand new 10-day email series based on bringing up girls that not only draws from the classic wisdom that Dr. Dobson gleaned from biblical principles when the book was first published, but also has a couple of new updates dealing with some of the issues like transgenderism and boys and girls locker rooms, and that insight is provided provided by Dr. Owen Strand from the Dobson Culture Center. Now, this 10-day email series on bringing up girls is yours absolutely free. All you have to do is go to drjamesdobson.org and you'll see the icon right there for the Bringing Up Girls 10-day email series. Again, go to drjamesdobson.org and click the link for the Bringing Up Girls 10-day email series. It's yours absolutely free. All you have to do is pop in your email address and click the sign up button and you'll start receiving these emails one per day for the next 10 days. And as we head into the Thanksgiving season and then Advent and Christmas, what a perfect way to really make sure that you are bolstering your parenting and even grandparenting skills with raising these young girls as they are moving through adolescence and into young adulthood. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. On behalf of Dr. James Dobson and all of us here at the JDFI, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.